We are just a little less than a month away from this year's enshrinement ceremony celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Lorraine Sports Hall of Fame. An exciting class this year, and here to talk to us about all of that and then some, Tom Bauer with the Lorraine Sports Hall of Fame. Tom, how are you today?
Randy, I'm doing fine, as always.
Well, we are less than a month away, as I mentioned, from this year's enshrinement ceremony, and this year is indeed a very special one because you're celebrating your 50th anniversary. How cool is that?
Matter of fact, we even got gold tickets going out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it is a special one for us. 50 years. 1969 is when we started, and if you remember back in those days, Ed Seniger was the athletic director at Lorraine High. Paul Bumgardner, they call him Bummy, he was the sports writer for the Journal, and George Steinbrenner over there at the shipyards got together, and they were the founding fathers, and of course they put together a group of committee people, and we'd like to talk to some of the people there, maybe do a little something special for the 50th anniversary this year.
Very, very awesome stuff. Well, we'll get into the ceremony here in just a little bit, but let's talk about this year's inductees. And I know you have broken them down into a few different categories. You've got the regular inductees, you've got the team, two senior inductees, and the special inductees. But let's begin with the first six, I guess, the regular inductees. I guess that's the right way to phrase that, right?
Yeah, we call them our regulars. We have a few requirements. One of them, they had to go to one of the Lorraine schools or live in Lorraine and gone to another school. And that was our first inductee. It was Teresa Feldkamp Brannon. She ran track, but she ran track for Amherst High School. Always lived in Lorraine. Now, far west side of Lorraine is Amherst School District. So she went there. But I could talk all day on some of her accomplishments because she was a middle distance specialty. 800 meters was her specialty. And her claim goes just, it's just amazing. Every single year, 4 years at high school, she was a district and regional champ. Every single year, she placed down at the state. And her last two junior and senior years, she was the state champ in the 800. And it was funny, I was talking to Paul Hensey, and he's specialized in Lorraine County track. He said she was the very first female from Lorraine County ever to repeat as a champion.
Wow.
Lorraine, cool. Lorraine County Track Hall of Fame. She was inducted to Amherst High School. She was in the inaugural class for the Amherst High School Hall of Fame, and then she went on to the University of Michigan, and she kept it up. Indoor and outdoor track, cross country. She was the Big Ten 800 champ, and she was the Division I NCAA champ in the distance medley and a two-year All-American. So, she did it all at the highest levels. And it was funny, too, because I talked to her a few times, and she sent me some pictures to put on our slideshow. She kept running in the family because she married Nate, who's a three-time Olympian. He was a distance runner for the Canadian team. So they're going to have some kids that are going to end up track stars themselves. What a great, great, great athlete she was.
So, yeah, no question about that. As you mentioned, they're going to have some kids that are going to be great track athletes, no doubt about that. What can you tell us about some of the others in the regular category? Jesse Hernandez, I know, is up there as well.
And that's unique in itself because, most people don't think of bowling as a place where, you get honored into the Hall of Fame. But Lorraine Sports Hall of Fame has always gone back to bowling. And back in the day, matter of fact, our very first 50 years ago induction class – had two bowlers, so out of eight men, two of them were bowlers. So the level of bowling back in the day. And Jesse feels that same mold. He started working in bowling alleys when he was 14 years old. And when he wasn't working at the alleys, he was practicing. And, a lot to talk about. He had too many championships and tournaments in this list here to even mention. But he has a 215 lifetime average, and he has 11 300 games. No, I don't even have any, 300 series. He has 11 300 games. So, and he's been inducted into the Lorraine Bowling Association Hall of Fame. So we do. We got a great bowler in Jesse Hernandez.
Well, that's a remarkable career. A 215 yes. Lifetime average and 11 perfect games. That's just remarkable. You mentioned, it's a little unusual to have a bowler on there, but it's also a little unusual to have a boxer in there. And you guys have a boxer in this list as well.
And he's not the first. We've had a couple boxers in the past, but nothing for the last probably, 30 years or so for a boxer. But this was Ricky Quillis. And he's been a longtime boxer because he started when he was about 15 in the Golden Gloves in Cleveland, and he won the title 3 straight years. Then he turned pro at 19, and he won his first 4 pro matches. So, you know, he was well on his way. And he fought mainly in California, but he still lives in California. He's in Hollywood. No, it's funny. I got a little thing from him. He said right now he's training Hollywood celebrities in the boxing game and fitness. But he's, you know, you go to the movies and you see a boxing scene. A lot of times they go to Ricky to teach him how to box so it looks realistic on the, you know, on in the movie. So he's been doing some of that. But he when I talked to him, he said he wanted me to mention 3 things in his bio. One, Freddie Berrios had a gym in South Lorraine, and boxing, he said, kept him off the street. So he wanted to give some props to Freddie Berrios. And this was funny. He said the great basketball player Magic Johnson gave him his nickname, Showtime. You know, young boxers are fancy there, Showtime, because he was watching him fight at one of his Hollywood bouts, and he's lived up to that name, Showtime, ever since. And he has a quote that he says, through boxing, we can conquer all the punches that come our way in life. So I thought that was pretty interesting for a young Lorraine kid to come up with, that expertise in both his boxing and his quotes. So he's a great one.
Yeah, words to live by, no doubt about that.
Exactly.
Well, this is a pretty impressive class, and we want to work through the rest of these here. What about Ron Mantini, a basketball and baseball standout?
You know, and it was hard to say which one his best sport was, because you understand, he was 6'8" in high school.
Wow.
So when he's standing on the mound, that's kind of impressive when you're looking way up at him. But he was also a force under the bucket in hardwood. So, no, he's had, in his basketball career, he was always all-county, Northeast Ohio Player of the Year, and he was first-team all-state in basketball. And in baseball, I looked at some of his records. Some of his years, he won every single game he started pitching, but he was also a hitter. You know, he was a power hitter, numerous home runs, but he had a .453 batting average. So he was an all-around kid, all-around. And then you start going into, of course, in, you know, baseball and basketball back in those days, it's AAU and the traveling. Like, I couldn't tell you how many different places they played and won tournaments, you know, those kind of things. So, yeah, he was all-around. He went to California University in Pennsylvania. That was my old school too back there in the day, and I called it California College. He corrected me. It's the university now, not when I went. And they were going to let him do both sports, but he blew out his knee, and that ended his career. So, you know, it was a sad ending, but he was a great kid.
A sad ending, but one heck of a career, no question about that. Yeah. And, you know, there are a few others on here as well. Roger Smith, a basketball and football standout. He also went on to continue his athletic career at OU.
I called him unique because, you know, basketball was his sport, obviously. No, he was his senior year, he was Mr. Basketball, Lorain County. He was first-team All-State, so basketball was his sport. He also qualified to run track down at the state meet in a couple of relays. And they play, you know, his team plays. Of course, they had a lot of speed at Admiral King back in those days. But here's where the uniqueness come in. He didn't play football until his senior year. Bill Provident, I don't know if you know, he was a Hall of Fame coach over there, Admiral King, Bill Provident. Bill's a good friend of mine, and Bill would scout the halls and make sure there's no good athletes that didn't come out for football. So he got Roger to come out for football his senior year. 1 year of football, he made All-State that year as a wide receiver. Then he went on to OU, of course, to play basketball, four-year letter winner. 3 years, he was a starting point guard, and the same thing happened. He had all of his eligibility used up in basketball, but he still had one more year. So, you know, he said, I'll go out for football. He made OU's, he has a Division I school, OU's football team, and he still holds an OU record for number of interceptions he had. So, you know, there's quite an athlete when you can play basketball and then play football at the Division I level.
Yeah, that's wild. So he didn't play at all in high school until his senior year, then he didn't play in college at all until his senior year. Strange to see that same thing happen.
Exactly. Boy, exactly.
And especially at the college level, too. That's just so tough to pick up after having not played it for a few years.
Wow.
And then, sets the school record for interceptions, too. Boy, what a remarkable career. Yeah. And then, of course, that brings us to Scott Zimmerman, a baseball standout at Admiral King.
Yeah, and I, you know, just going through the yearbook today, I was down there getting yearbooks to get some pictures for our slideshow. I didn't know he was also a big-time basketball player. you know, not All-State or anything, but he was on the starting Admiral King basketball team, and they had some success. But it was baseball where he really was he was the pitcher at Admiral King from 82 to 84, and he was their number one thing. But he went on. He was a All-State. He pitched in the East-West All-Star game, and then he went on to Indiana University where he was I think they have a freshman there in the Big Ten. You know, he was Big Ten Freshman of the Year. He was an All-American on the freshman team, and he was in his sophomore year, he was second-team Big Ten, which is quite an accomplishment. We're not talking about Division III. We're talking about the Big Ten, where he was second-team. So, yeah, Scotty was a great great pitcher both at Admiral King and in the Big Ten leagues.
Yeah, remarkable career, no doubt about that. Again, Tom Bauer with the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Their 50th anniversary, they're celebrating here in a little bit less than a month at their enshrinement ceremony. And well, in the team category, this year you guys are inducting the Admiral King High School basketball team in the 79-80 academic year. What made this team so special?
Well, I tell you what, this is the third Admiral King basketball team that's going into our Hall of Fame. And if you look at the record, this is the third team. There's two teams that went in there before them. This is the team that actually went the furthest. You know, they had upset a couple of schools to get into the regional, and then they went down to the state and won their first semifinal game in a big time upset. And then they only were behind by 2 points, I think, with 20 seconds to go against Akron Howard. So they finished second in the state, higher than the teams that were inducted before them. So what can you say about the team that finished second in the state? Of course, you know, they overcame some obstacles because they weren't as high. They didn't have that 24 straight wins like one of the other teams we inducted, but they put it together postseason and got all the way to second in the state. And I'm going to show a little video at the banquet that shows them that last 20 seconds when they were only behind by 2 points. Of course, you know, Akron throws the ball out on them and that, and the rest is history.
That's so still pretty awesome to be second of the state. That's a terrific year, no doubt about that. Well, you guys also have two other categories as well, a senior category and a special category. We'll start with the senior category. What can you tell us about the seniors that are going in this year?
1968 must have been a great year in Lorain because both our seniors come from 1968 graduating class. The first is Chris Cowie from Lorain High, 1968, but really – it wasn't just Chris Cowie because there was always what they called the Cowie twins. And I showed up at Lorain in the school year of 68-69. So I just missed this group by 1 year. And I never heard anyone say the word Chris Cowie. It was always the Cowie twins, Chris and Craig. And Paul Bumgarner, great writer for the Journal back in the days, he said, "Wowie, wowie, there goes Cowie." Because every time they participated their senior year, they set some sort of a record. You know, no matter where they went, they set the stadium records, Sandusky, Amherst, Lorain High. Wherever they went, they were setting records. But then Chris finally started edging out his twin brother. They were both high jumpers and pole vaulters. Chris finally started edging out his brother a little bit their senior year. And then Chris, he won the regional in track that year and set a record in the regional down in Mansfield. And then the next week, he finished second in the state. So here's the fact I know about him. When I first got to Lorain, in our locker room, our football locker room, they had a big placard with all the records for anyone who said anything in track. There was the Chris Cowie there. He set the high jump record back in 68 and the pole vault record. It's funny. To this day, I went over there last football season. That thing is still standing. He still has the high jump record at Lorain High. Now, it's been tied once or twice, but no one's ever beat his 6'5". And now, this is 50 years ago, no one's ever beaten his pole vault record of 13'6" in Lorain High. So, and there's something when you hold a record for 50 years. That was Chris.
Yeah, wow. No question. That's, you're talking 5 decades, and records were meant to be broken, but apparently not in that case if it's still around 50-plus years later. Well, you also have one other in the senior category. You alluded to this earlier. 1968 must have been a pretty big year.
Victor Guerreri was Admiral King. He was their star in the, you know, that 67-68 basketball team. You know, and I asked him, I said, you know, for a big-time basketball player like that, your overall career scoring record isn't that impressive. He did mention to me, though, I had to understand that his sophomore and junior year, he played behind Bubbles Harris. And he said, Bubbles always got the first shot. I had to play defense. So that was the 67-68 team that Vic played on. He then really became the player in that team, and that team made it to the Sweet 16, and Bubbles' teams did not because they got upset by Elyria in that year. And, of course, they were 24-1 or 2, and Elyria upset them in the the district or sectional finals. So he has one thing he can say over Bubbles. They made it to the regionals. Bubbles' teams did not. But then he went on to Oberlin College, and he has all kind of records, he said, at Oberlin College. He was the very first Oberlin player to ever be first team all-athletic, or all, what's the conference during Oberlin's in? The Ohio Athletic Conference, I think?
The OAC.
He was the very first Oberlin player ever to be an inducted in basketball first team. He is about third highest in Oberlin history for career total points. He set the game record that stood for about 15 or 16 years at 43 points in a game. And he was said the record still stands. He scored 20 baskets in that game. Of course, there's no three-pointers in there. There were only two-pointers. But his and known him, all his baskets were probably from the three-point range. So he would have had 60 points had it been current basketball rules instead of 68 rules. But he was inducted into the Oberlin Hall of Fame. And I didn't even know these things happened. He said he got an NCAA scholarship for postgraduate work at Stanford. And he's still living out there now in the California area. So he's gone on.
Very impressive. Very impressive. So. Well, you guys also have a special category. Let's go over the parameters of the special category before we talk about the two inductees there and Larry Reardon, a basketball official, and, of course, Coach John Rossitano.
You know, when it comes to the special, it's the things that, you know, you don't think about just pure athletics. You know, there's usually an official, coaches, those kind of things is what gets you into the special category in Lorain. And this year is the same. Larry Reardon got in as a basketball official. Now, he played his years back at Admiral King I think he graduated in 77, and he played, you know, three different sports. But really, it was his officiating that put him at the level where he's at today. Now, he's always been, he said he started officiating in 1985, still doing it today. And he joined the North Ohio Officials Association in 1990. And he said, you know, he's held every single office in that association, and he's still today their treasurer as well as a social director. I know exactly what the social director does, but he's still an officer there, and he has been inducted into the North Ohio Officials Hall of Fame in 2010. But he said, here's his greatest achievements. He said, in officiating, he's been in a sectional and a district tournament every year since 1998. He's been in every regional level. Now, that's quite an accomplishment in a regional level since 2001 to this year. He officiated in the regions. And he's been selected down to the state 7 times. So, you know, Larry has really done it all when it comes to basketball officiating.
Yeah, no question about that. That's a remarkable career for an official, no question about that. And, of course, that brings us to Coach John Rossitano, who is going into the special category as well. And, boy, he's had all kinds of success.
And, you know, we're inducting the 79-80 basketball team. He played on that team. You know, he played on that team, and I was just so hoping this year he could have taken the team down to state like he did last year, because he could have told them, I've been there, I've done that, because he was on that team that finished second in the state. But John played basketball, but I guess it was his coaching that really, really got him to where he is today. He started coaching under Mitch Gillum way back there when he got out of Bowling Green, and he coached at Admiral King as an assistant for 9 years until finally the job opened up over Lorain High. So he moved over to head coach at Lorain High in that, I think that 94-95 year. The problem was he got them to the regional for the very first time in recent history, and they closed Lorraine High on him. So then he had to go back to Admiral King to coach for a while, but he had a great great record over at Admiral King for a while. I don't have all the records, but I think he had a lot of Erie Shore championships, some sectional championships. But then he went on to Amherst to coach girls. I think his daughter was over there, and he went over there and coached the girls. And I think he probably is one of the greatest Amherst basketball coaches coming out of there. He had 147 victories in his 9 years over at Amherst. Of course, now he comes back to Lorraine High, the new Lorraine High Titans, and you know the success they've had since he's been back here. You know, I can't even tell you how many five straight years where they've won 20 or more games. You know, state last year. They're always high up in the district and the regionals. So John probably his proudest moment was probably in 2015 when he was named the state of Ohio's coach of the year. You know, that's quite an achievement for now that wasn't the year they made the state, but that was a year where they had a great basketball team.
Yeah.
So
no question.
You know, that's our inductees. That's a great class this year.
That's an incredible class, and the ceremony, of course, takes place at Germans Villa on May 11th. It's the 50th anniversary. Should be a heck of a lot of fun. You mentioned a great, great class, and, boy, celebrating 50 years, that says you guys are certainly doing something right. Tom, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us some of your time and talking about this year's class, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Wendy, thank you for giving me the opportunity, because I like to talk about these people every chance I get. So, thank you for giving the call.
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you again. Tom Bauer with the Lorraine Sports Hall of Fame joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. That is an incredible class. Boy, some great stories and some great numbers. And, again, celebrating their 50th anniversary. They've even got golden tickets to go along with it as well. Should be a lot of fun on May 11th at Germans Villa.